And perhaps we need to do more of that, you know, in training them and teaching them about singing and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I didn't mean to leave Sister Janet out this morning, Brother Gary, when I was making prayer requests. We do want to continue to pray for her. Brother Gary said she may be a little stronger, but we do miss her, and we hope the Lord will bless her and restore her to her health. Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and we do desire and interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a little while. I've chosen a lesson from the 91st division of the Psalms. If you have your Bible and you'd care to join us as we read, I'd be most happy for you to do so. Psalms chapter 91, there are only 16 verses, and I'll read the entire chapter. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And here's why. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to turn over to the book of Exodus, and in chapter 11 and verse 7, I want to take my text. And I will read this verse of Scripture in its entirety. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man nor beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And I want to use as my subject title for today, the difference God sees between the saved and the unsaved. You pray for me. I feel the need of the help of God. I felt like as I studied and prayed and prepared for this hour, that this was what God wanted me to speak upon. And I still feel that way today. There is a difference in the way God sees people. Those who have not been saved and those who have been saved. And I want you to listen very carefully as I try to speak to you. My text was taken from the book of Exodus, and it's a record of the time when, God sent the death angel through the land of Egypt and slew the firstborn in every family. Now, the reason for that was the children of Israel were in bondage. Egypt is known in the Bible as being the land of bondage. The children of Israel, because of a great famine, went down into Egypt, and they were given the land of Goshen as their dwelling place. And the Lord blessed them in a great way. And they grew, and the Pharaoh became afraid of them because they were growing so rapidly and felt threatened by them. And so he made slaves out of them. And they served with rigor. The Bible tells us, we go to the book of Exodus again just for a moment. And it tells us in the first chapter, it says the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter and hard bondage, with hard bondage. And in mortar and in brick and in all the manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Their lives were made hard. Now, they were in bondage. And you know, that is a type of sin. People are in bondage that haven't been saved, that have reached the years of accountability. And they are in bondage by sin. And sin can make your life hard. And that's what happened with them down there in the land of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that that God sent Moses down to ask Pharaoh to let his people go. You see, the difference was the Egyptians were idolaters. They were not saved. And the children of Israel, they were descendants of Abraham. And they were God's people. They were God's chosen people. God promised Abraham that in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. When he called him to follow him, he promised him that he would make him the head of a great nation of people. And he would bless him. And in those descendants of Abraham, he said that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so I wanted you to see the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The Egyptians were not God's people, but the Israelites were. And so God had a special interest in the children of Israel. And today I believe that God, and the lesson that I read in your hearing, I believe that it even teaches what I'm saying today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God has special blessings and care for His people that He blesses them with. And so, if we look at that in one way, The children of Israel were about 70 in number when they went down into Egypt. And here Egypt was a great nation, you know, and very powerful as in many ways. And as we look at that, it looks like that the Egyptians had the upper hand. And sometimes as we look around us in this world, with everything that's going on, we may get the idea, you know, that that the world has the upper hand over and above the people of God. But that is not true. They became slaves in the land of Egypt. And God sent Moses down to deliver them. And this is what God promised them, that he was going to take them out of bondage, and he was going to give them a land that flows with milk and honey. Do you know, I think a lot of people misunderstand Christianity, and they misunderstand the blessing of being a child of God. But because God has special watch care and protection over his own people. And so sometimes we look at things and we don't see everything clearly. We can be deceived sometimes, you know, by what we see. But God promised them he's going to take them out of bondage and going to give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. What a change that would be, wouldn't it? And I want to say today, if someone is here who is not saved, you know, Satan is your enemy, and Satan deceives. He is a deceiver, he can deceive people and make them think that the worst thing that could happen to you would be if you got saved and you become, a part of a church, and that would, you wouldn't be able to do anything, wouldn't have any joy, or couldn't do anything, you know. But that's not true. The greatest thing that can happen to a person is to be delivered from bondage, from the bondage of sin, be rescued. And that's God rescued them from that bondage that they were in. And they became his special people. And as he promised Abraham, that in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And you know, I believe that this nation in which we live, I believe it is a great nation. I believe it is, in fact, my own personal opinion, I believe it's the greatest nation that the world's ever known. We still have our problems. But I believe this, the goodness and the mercy of God has been extended to our nation because of God's people. Do you know, even God said in his word, you know, that, if I can get it together, Israel, you know, they have been a blessing to the whole world because the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. Do you know that God sent his son into the world? He was born to a Jewish family. Jesus was of Jewish descent from a natural standpoint. The Bible teaches us that when he came to his into the world and began his ministry, he came to his own people. He was in the world. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so today, we're being blessed today. We are beneficiaries of the gospel that came to us through the Jewish nation. It was a promise of Abraham, to Abraham. And it was a promise to the children of Israel as well, that they would be blessed and have a land that flowed with milk and honey. So as we think about this thought today, Egypt, you know, they were taskmasters. You know, the world can make a slave out of you. Did you know it? The world can, you can become a slave to sin. And you can become a slave to the evils that are in the world. Many people, even today in this world, they are slaves to sin. And they are slaves to evil. And they do evil. They practice evil. That's what they live for, is for evil. And sin can do that to you. And it can make your life bitter, and you can become so ruthless and with no respect for other people, you know. That's what happened down there in Egypt. Now, God wants us to experience a good life. God wants us, all of us, to be children of God. He wants us to know the joy of sins forgiven. He wants us to know the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, the book of Galatians talks about the liberty wherewith we've been set free. And you can get rid, you can get out of slavery, the slavery of sin. And you can have access to the freedom and the joy and the peace that comes with knowing Jesus. Anyway, God wants us to enjoy the good life, and He's promised that He would provide for us, in so doing, and He does. He blesses us. We can have peace and joy, and we can live without fear, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We're looking to Jesus. We're looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. We're looking to the captain of our salvation, the one who delivered us and set us free. And we continue to look to Him. Now, Moses, you know, the Bible said that he was born in Egypt. His mom and dad were Hebrews. They were slaves down there. And he was born. And Pharaoh, because of his fear of the Hebrews, he gave the commandment that all the little boy babies would be slain. And Moses' mother and father, they couldn't raise him, you know. They was under this threat from Pharaoh that he would kill their little baby. So she put him in a little basket, she put the basket, she pitched it within and without, and she put the basket in the Nile River, and she was trusting the Lord. She did that by faith. She believed, you know, that God would protect him and take care of him, and she put him in the Nile River, and she told his sister, "You go stand and see what happens to him. You watch." And so Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe, and she saw that little basket, and she heard a baby's cry. And she sent her servant and had the basket retrieved. And it was Moses. And Moses' sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Would you like for me to get one of the Hebrew women to take care of the baby for you, be a nursemaid for the baby?" And she said, "Yes." Guess who the little girl got? She got the baby's mother to take care of him. And she raised him, you know. And when he came to years, when he became to the point that he could understand and know, you know, about... the ways of the Egyptians, and he knew the ways of the Hebrews because he had been raised in a Hebrew family with values, certain values, values that really meant something, you know. And so he made a choice. He chose rather to suffer affliction, with the people of God. It's the Bible says in the Hebrews chapter 11 that he esteemed I'll just have to go over, I guess, and look at that. But I want you to see this because it's really important. Hebrews chapter 11, and it says that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know, he put greater value upon the riches of Christ or the reproaches of Christ than he did all the treasures of Egypt. And he was in line, you know, to be a Pharaoh. He perhaps would have at some point become the Pharaoh in Egypt if he had not made that choice. But he chose. He made the choice. He made the... excuse me. He made the choice, you know, to forsake Egypt. And he made the choice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. His thinking was, it'd be a lot better off. I'd be a lot better off, you know, if I choose Christ than I would be if I choose the world. And, you know, that's important for you to see that today. The world, you know, it presents lots of things that people call treasures. But there's no treasure like salvation. It's the greatest of all the treasures. And this is what he made the choice, and this is what he done. The Bible said that he forsook Egypt. He gave up the ways of Egypt. He gave up the potential for great prosperity and great things, you know. He gave that up. And it says he forsook Egypt. I lost my place. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing one who is invisible. You know, the true and the living God. I tell you, we can't see him, but he's real. So he gave up Egypt in order to find the Lord and to follow the Lord. And that's a good choice. That's a good decision to make when you grow up and you become accountable. It's a good thing to choose Christ first and foremost, over and above everything else. And so he esteemed the reproaches greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And so God hath put a difference between his people and those who are not his people. You might think that can't be right, but it is right. Why does he choose them? Because they've chosen him, you know. You know, God doesn't force anyone to become a child of God. It is a free choice. And people have the privilege to make the choice, to choose, to stand with God and God's people rather than to stand with the world and the evils that are in the world. It's not, God don't make a choice upon between people because of intellect. He doesn't make a choice based on riches or poverty. He doesn't make a choice, upon things like that. Jesus said, repent or perish. You know, in every person, you have the choice to come to Jesus and repent of your sins and be saved. You have the same choice. You can reject him if that's your desire to do so. And God will allow it, though he doesn't want that to happen. He don't want you to live your life in sin and then at the end of life be lost and doomed to eternal destruction. And so we know this, that the Lord, listen to this verse of Scripture. This is in Psalms 4, chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. God has set apart him that is godly for himself. The reason that God, shows it makes a difference is because we have become children of God and we live godly lives and we serve the Lord Jesus. And because of that, God has chosen us for himself. Now, I want you to think one more thing. We know also that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that. You see, there is a difference. There is a difference in the world. It's a place of bondage. But we know also that in the Lord Jesus, there is freedom and liberty. And Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, then you're really free. Free indeed is what it says. And so I read in the Bible about two men that went up to the temple. I think this is an illustration, perhaps, of what we've been trying to do. The point we've been trying to make this morning. 18th chapter of the book of Luke. This is a parable. This is not a record of something that actually happened, but it also is a record of something that actually happens. You know, now that may not make sense, but this is an illustration. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee. He was a hypocrite. He really wasn't saved. But he went through the formality as though he had been saved. He was pretending. He went up into the temple to pray. And this is the kind of prayer he prayed. This will show the difference between the world and the godly. You know, and he prayed thus within himself. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. I'm not even like this publican over here, you know. And he was bragging upon himself. But the publican, when he began his prayer, he did not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven. But he, in other words, he bowed his head. He bowed in reverence to God. And he smote upon his breast. He was troubled. He had conviction. He had conviction. How you know, preacher? Because he acknowledged it. He said, smote upon his breast, and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Can you see the distinction between, you know, the wicked and the righteous? Can you see the distinction? Can you see why God would honor the prayer of this humble, repentant sinner rather than this proud, high-minded, high-headed fellow that was just putting on a show. There is a difference. There is a real difference between God's people and the world. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know, you can't see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. There is a difference. And that's the point I'm trying to make today. There's a radical difference in the way that God sees people. God sees our hearts. And it doesn't make any difference. The show that we put on, God looks at the heart. And so he can see through us. And he knows our needs. And so he that humbles himself, the Bible says, shall be exalted. And he that that exalts himself, he shall be abased. And not only being a Christian, I don't hardly know how to say this, but being a Christian should not only be obvious and visible to the eyes of God, but it ought to be visible, to the world as well. When we get saved, we should identify ourselves with the people of God. And we should unite with the church, and we should be baptized, and we should take a stand so that people can know, and see the reality in what has happened to us. That we have done like Moses did, that we forsook Egypt, and we counted the Lord Jesus and being saved and being numbered among God's people a greater riches than all the treasures that the world might have. And then not only that, but our profession, we should practice it, We should practice it. God, he wants us as his people, In fact, the Word of God says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. People ought to be able to tell by our dedicated Christian life that there's a difference has been made in us. And they ought to be able to see that and acknowledge that. That it is going to show up at the judgment, of whether we want it to or not. But it will show up. I want to read something, and I'm done then. But this is from the 17th article of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith that we subscribe to it. We subscribe to it because it's what the Bible teaches. And it said, we believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. That's what I've been trying to preach this morning. That such only as through faith in Christ, such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of God and are truly righteous in his esteem, in the way he sees things, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in his sight wicked. You see, God can see. God knows, And under the curse, and this distinction holds among men, both in and after death. It's visible before death, in life, and it's sure enough going to be visible in death. Because when we come to face death and we draw our last breath, a person is either going upward to heaven, or he's going downward to hell. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I don't like preaching like I preached today, but I'm obligated to do it. It's my duty to do it. It's my duty to tell you that, you know, there's an advantage to being a Christian. Living for the Lord, you know, brings great blessings and the rewards at the end of life, you know, so much greater to be able to die in peace and go to heaven where you're comforted. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. You know, we may not have all the rest that we want in this life, you know. There's so many things that trouble us and bother us and make us worry and keep us up. But if you've been saved by God's grace, you can rest assured of this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. God's watching over His people, and He's taking care of us. We don't like a lot of things that are going on in the world today. And we may do some suffering, you know. Things may not work out like we'd like for them to. But you can rest assured of one thing. God's going to take care of His people. He's going to take care of His people. Well, that's my message. I pray that you got the message. I pray that you could see that the distinction was visible, and that you could see it and you could understand. You know, there's a great advantage to being a child of God. A great advantage. And I pray if you're not saved that you'd come to Jesus. Brother Wayne, let's have a verse or two of a song.